So if God is a rewarder, then that means we have to do something for the reward. So what do you have to do? Do you have to do anything to get rewards? Yes? To seek him. You got to work for, you don't have to work for your salvation, but you have to work for, you're correct. You are correct. We have to do something. You just don't get a reward. See, the enemy has tried, and we've talked about this before. The enemy has tried to show that even in our young people, I think it's happened about 15 years ago where everybody gets a trophy. Right? You don't really have to participate. All you got to do is get on the team. Right? And you get a trophy the same as the first place guy gets a trophy. There's no distinguishing between the trophy, except you're a participation trophy. Because we don't want to offend anyone. Is that true? So the enemy wants us to think that you have to do nothing to get rewards. I believe the church is that way as well. I believe that we have came to a place that all I have to do is walk into the church, surrender my life to God, and then I have to do nothing else. Okay, I know that I'm supposed to read the Bible. I know that I'm supposed to pray, but those are minute things. I just want to come into the church as long as I show up every Sunday, as long as I listen to the pastor preach a word, as long as I try to change my life a little bit, I have to do nothing for the reward. I believe the church is in that place. Now, I think God is, as I think he was showing me today, that he is looking for the remnant, the power of the church that he's going to beautify. There's going to be a beautiful church in the end times. There's going to be a church that rises up vibrantly. That's going to show the glory of God. But it's going to cost you something. Oh, I want to bring out a disclaimer. Last week, it's on my top of my mind. So I said something that was wrong. And I want to make sure it's clarified it's right. So I said, John Wesley is the one where Billy Graham knelt down at John Wesley. Is the one where he knelt down in his place. Not Finney, Charles Finney. I said Charles Finney. And so I wanted to correct that in the service today, that it was John Wesley, not Charles Finney. Okay, it was John Wesley that was the Methodist leader of the church, and I just wanted to clarify that. It was running through my mind, so I wanted to clarify that I didn't want to lead you astray. But everything else I said was true. So we all believe God is a rewarder. That is a true statement. You all believe that? What do we have to do it, to get a reward? Seek him. And so those rewards, so I wrote this down. If you invest, when you invested, some of you are retired now, so did you get like a 10% rate of return on your investment? Do you know somewhere in there, did you get 10% or 3%? If you get 3%, it's like, that's not very good, but if you get 10%, that's really good, right? Well, in God's economy, if you invest in him, it's 100% return. It's 100% return. It's a guarantee that if you invest in the kingdom of God, it is 100% return. Now, first thing is we have to invest. Diligently seek him as one. We're going to get into some others. So God actively responds to and blesses people who make persistence wholeheartedly and intentionally efforts to find and know him. God actively responds to and blesses people who make persistent, constantly, wholeheartedly, and intentional efforts to find and know him. Those were some strong words. The Bible tells us that he is a rewarder of those. And there's five crowns that we receive. We've talked about them in 2018, I think. And so there's five crowns that you will receive when you get to heaven. You will not receive them all unless you have done everything to get those rewards. That means that you are going to have to do something to receive these rewards or these crowns. Now, it's not to say that these crowns are more than, my crowns are more than yours, because it's not to say that. But there is rewards and crowns that we will receive. Each one of us, we're going to receive a crown. So the first one is the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. And to those, it means faithful through every trial and love God. You got to be faithful to God and every trial that you go through. Eternal life and victory over hardships. That's what the church, that's what you do. When you come in to know God, you come into this place of surrendering, you know God, you get the crown of eternal life. Okay? That's every Christian is going to get that crown. The second one is incorruptible, and that's in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 25. It's kind of like a life of spiritual discipline and self-control. When you have self-control, spiritual discipline in your life, you will inherit this incorruptible, imperishable crown. Okay? So you can say, okay, you know what? I've got one crown. Maybe I got two. Okay? You can kind of itemize what you have here. Then there's the third crown, the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. This is the faithfulness and right living rooted in hope. Okay? This is the crown that reflects a heart that waits, that wants to live rightly because of trust in God. It's a heart that wants to live rightly. This is an easy crown to get. Right? This is an easy one to get. Just want to live like Jesus did. Just want to be like Jesus. You know, live incorruptibly, live with the heart of God, live with wanting to be like Him. Then there's the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. God honors serving and serving others with integrity. It's about shepherding people in love. It's not for recognition. So, I'm a shepherd, but also you can also be a shepherd over people that you mentor. You can be a shepherd over them as well. And so you can also receive this crown of glory. The fifth crown is a crown of rejoicing. It's the joy of seeing others grow spiritually. You rejoice when somebody gets saved. You rejoice. You're happy for someone when God blesses them. And you rejoice. Right? If Ralph received $1 million, would I be joyful for Ralph? Yeah. Man, Ralph, come on, man. Huh? Buy me a new gun. Right? You probably would then. Oh, buy you one first. The first thing we would do, we would give 10% to the Lord. Right? We would say, you know what? Here's 10% of my tithe, Lord. Here's 10% of the greatness that you give me. You know, it's because we had that giving spirit. It's because we want to give to the ministry of God. We want to give so he can financially bless you. It's not about that, though. It's giving out of a heart. I've seen that, the heart of the people when we had those two couples, that couple come in, and you guys gave. You guys gave far beyond your means, and you just gave. No matter what they did, no matter what they did with it afterwards, it doesn't matter. And this is hard for me, and I've told it before, when people are on the corner to give them money, what are they going to do with it? It's hard. Hard. I can say hard to give that way. Really is. It is. I'm telling you, it's hard. But here's the thing. When you give, that's it. You give because it's the heart of God. And you give because it's His heart. Now, it doesn't matter what they do with it. You did it because you wanted to bless them. Okay? So, there is no competition for the crowns. There is no competition. Each one of us has to walk through that reward system ourselves. What kind of crown would you like? Man, put your feet to the fire and get to work. Because it's going to require you to do something. And eventually, what do? When we get to heaven, what do we do with our crowns? The Bible tells us that we lay them at His feet. Because it was not our righteousness, but His. And He blessed us with everything that we have. I'm going to read, I'm going to tie this all together. It's all going to come together at the end. But God is a rewarder of those who seek him. He's a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He's a rewarder, David. He rewards us even though sometimes we go through the fire. 1 Corinthians 3:14 or 3:1-15. My eyes are blurry this morning for some reason, so I'm going to use some glasses so I can see a little easier. It says, "Brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I found it impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature people. For you are still dominated." I am reading out of Passion Translation. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you that. I just seen it. So it's a little bit different wording than it's up there, but it's going to be the same thing. "It is impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature people. For you are still dominated by the mindset of the flesh." Anybody still here dominated by the mindset of the flesh? I hope not. "And because you are immature infants in Christ." Paul's kind of bringing he's trying to say, hey guys, you should have been somewhere else. You should have been a little further along than you are. Rebuking, that's what I'm looking for. And he says, in verse 2, he says, "I had to nurse you and feed you with milk, not with solid food or more advanced teaching, because you weren't ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready to be fed solid food." Verse 3, "For you are living your lives dominated by the mindset of the flesh. Ask yourselves, is there jealousy among you? Do you compare yourselves with others? Do you quarrel like children and end up taking sides? If so, that proves that you are still living lives centered on yourself, dominated by mindset of the flesh, and behaving like unbelievers." You know how many churches are split apart because of that? Churches are split apart. Friends are split apart because of that. Verse 4, "For when you divided yourselves up into groups," A, Paul's group and Apollo's group, "you're acting like people without the spirit of influence." Verse 5, "Who is Apollos really? Who is Paul? Aren't we both just servants through whom you believed our message? Aren't each of us doing the ministry of the Lord? Aren't each of us doing the ministry the Lord has assigned to us?" And I underline that. Are you doing the ministry that the Lord has assigned to you? What's that look like? What's your purpose? How many know your purpose in life? How do you know your, how many know their purpose in life, in the church, and in God? Does everybody know their purpose? Or are you still trying to find your purpose? How many would say they're trying to find their purpose? Okay, let's just be honest, yeah. Let's be honest. So, that's a big thing, finding our purpose. So, there's a lot of things that... So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. So the ones that raise their hands that don't know their purpose or don't understand their calling, how many spend every day before the Lord? And don't answer that. You don't have to raise your hands because I'm not going to. But how often do you spend before the Lord? How often do you allow him to speak to you? And to find your purpose, he has to be the one that shows you and reveals it to you. I know that when I spent time before the Lord, this was not the place I envisioned. This was not the calling that I envisioned. I envisioned evangelistic calling. That's what the Lord placed on my heart. But this is the place he put me to minister. And so I encourage you to get before the Lord so you know that what you're assigned to. Because if you don't know what your assignment is, you don't know what you're called to, you can't chase after or work towards it. Now, we do know the Great Commission in Matthew 28. It tells us to go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, right? Cast out demons. We know that says that. Go and minister the gospel. That is part of your purpose. That is your calling. That is what we're supposed to do. Just as Steve, can you imagine being in a coffee cup full of people and you got Steve going, right? You just begin to pray. Right? Boldness begins to rise up because we know our calling, we know our purpose. And if we know we're a rewarder, God is going to reward us for the things that we do, we're going to be more boldly to go out and do it. When these quarterbacks, the Super Bowl will be coming up, and for these quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs and stuff, when they score touchdowns, they're going to get a more reward. They're going to get more money for doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. It's a reward. It's a reward for the win the Super Bowl. You get the Super Bowl ring, and there's money, I think, involved too, isn't there? I'm not much on football, but I think there's more money involved in it as well. So it says that Paul and them were ministering and doing what the Lord had assigned to them. So we need to know our assignment. Verse 6, I planted the church and Apollos came and cared for it. But it was God who caused it to grow. So there's one that waters, one that plants, and God caused it to grow, right? So that there's purpose in all of us. There's times that I might witness to someone, and then Sean will come and get the harvest. And that's okay. We don't fight and quarrel about it. We rejoice, and we're going to get the rejoicing crown because God is moving. God is going to use you in ways that you can't fathom. You might be watering, and you don't know it. You're just a water spigot. That's what you are. You're a water spigot. And you water people. You water the goodness of the Lord. That's a calling on your life because you have that character of joy and laughter and humility. But you can share the good news and you water the plant. You water the things of God. You're also a planter too. And continue to do that. But you have this bubbling joy that rises up. And it waters the good plant, that there's a good seed that is growing. So yeah, there's a purpose for each one of us. And that's the calling that's in our life. Verse 7. This means that one who plants is not anybody special, nor one who waters, for God is the one who brings the supernatural growth. Verse 8. Now the one who plants and the one who waters are equally important and of the same and on the same team. But each will be rewarded for his own work. Verse 9. We are co-workers with God, and you are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. Verse 10, God has given me unique gifts. Listen to that. God has given you unique gifts. Just as he gave Paul unique gifts, he has given you unique gifts. You have unique gifts that nobody else has. You have a gifting that is way above what you imagine. You just don't see it. Everybody else around, everybody in this room sees it. The gifting that God has called on you. There's power in who you are. Your stature, your character, there's power in who you are. You just got to get it here. You know it. You carry it around. Rooms change. I talked to Susan this morning. When she has a charisma. You have a charisma that the Lord has placed on you. You have the ability to plant seeds that other people can't plant. You have the ability to plant more seeds than a lot of people in this building. Because of your charisma and the nature God had put in you. But if we don't use those things, those rewards don't come to us. Verse 10, it says, God has given me unique gifts, unique skilled as a master builder. Unique gifts. All of us have been given these uniquely crafted gifts from when you was put in your mother's womb. They were already there. They weren't learned, they weren't made, but God made them in your DNA when you was placed in your mother's womb. At conception, this is who you are. The master builder, the master craftsman that God has placed in you. It goes on to say, who lays a good foundation. Afterwards, another craftsman comes and builds on it. You lay the foundation. You might be the one that plants the seed. You laid the foundation for someone to come along and build on top of it. And then this building is erected. This church is erected and beautifies the Lord. It goes on to say, so builders beware. Let every builder do his work carefully according to God's standard. For no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation other than the good foundation that exists, which is Christ Jesus. And he's talking about, do not preach any other gospel. Don't preach any other gospel but Jesus Christ. You don't preach any other way but the death, resurrection, or the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There is only one type of blood. That is the blood of Christ that clarifies you from sin. There is only one type, only one blood that can do that. There's no other blood that can cover your sin. It is the blood of Christ that covers your sin. There is no other doctrine, no other teaching except this one that you pertain to and that you give to everyone else. Verse 12 says, the quality of materials used by anyone building on this foundation will soon be made apparent whether it has been built with gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw. Their work will soon become evident, for the day will make it clear, because it will be revealed by blazing fire, and the fire will test and prove the workmanship of the builder. If his work stands the test of fire, he will be rewarded. Verse 15, if his work is consumed by fire, he will suffer great loss, yet he himself will barely escape destruction like one being rescued out of a burning house. Now, I just want to sit here for just a moment. And so, when we build and we have all this masterful character within us, and God has placed this in us, and so when we build out of the heart of the Father, and we don't build out of our own desire. You get me? We're not building out of prideful issues. We're not building out of, look what I can do. I've done this so many times. I've saved 500 people. I've seen 25,000 people come to the Lord. It's no. You keep this humble thing. It's okay to say some of that stuff, but you got to be in this humble place. You got to be in this humble place. And then don't let straw and hay and all that, because if it's all built with just rubbish, it's going to fall. It's going to burn. So when you get to heaven and you have this pile of rewards and it's all this stuff and the fire of God lights it, what's left? What's left? And so now I want to tie this all together, and I'm going to go to Matthew 25, 14 to 30. This is in the New King James. And I just want to, I want you to understand that just by coming inside this building, just by coming inside and being saved and sanctified, does not mean that you're going to get rewards. You're going to get one crown, the crown of life. How will we feel when we stand before God? And all of us will. Without a doubt, all of us are going to stand before God. It might be now, it might be later, it might be when he returns. And I'm hoping that we see his return in the near future. But I'm telling you, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to be accountable for our giftings. We're going to be accountable for our life. We're going to be accountable for the gifts that he placed inside of us. Did you use them? Did you build well? Listen to this. This is the parable of the talents. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents. So a talent was probably about $1,000 or 1,000 coins, okay? That's about what a talent was. So to one he gave 5,000 talents, just say. To another 2,000, and to another 1,000. To each according to his own ability. Listen to this. He gave to them according to their own ability. That God did not give them more than they could handle. God did not give them more riches or more anything. The master of the house did not give them more than they could handle. He gave them exactly what they needed. Okay? Or what they could handle. Or what they can invest in, or what they can do. So your gifting that you have is God has given that to what you as personally can handle. Let's go on. So then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who received two talents went and traded and with them and made another. I'm lost here where I'm at. And likewise, he who had received two talents gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After long, After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." His lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into joy of your Lord." He who also had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bank." Some say that you should have put my money in the church. You should have put the money in the church. I gave it to you. I'm not talking about your money. Okay? I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your giftings. Because if you're not going to use them out there, you need to use them in here. I need the prophets to start prophesying. I need the Spirit of God to start moving. I need the callings on your life to start moving. God, I don't need them. God needs them. Your family needs them. Your church people needs them. I need the callings of the prophets to start prophesying over people. I need the prophets to start prophesying in this place. I need the teachers to stand up and be teachers. I need the evangelists to stand up and start evangelizing. This is what God's called you to do. There is all of those giftings are in this room. I guarantee it. Those giftings have been sitting inside of you. And we sit there with them. It's in the church worldwide. It's in the church, Terre Haute, Indiana. We have prophets. We have ones that could lay hands on the sick, and they're sitting on their hands. They're not using their giftings because it's easier to walk inside the church, to sing 4 or 5 songs, to hear a message, man, that's pretty good, and walk out the door unchanged. There's got to be a desire within your spirit. There's got to be a place within your heart that drives you to something more. I don't know if it was, Wigglesworth that he got so tired of his wife being sick that he, I think it was Wigglesworth that I'm not for sure. I have to look it up. But one of the guys from the early 1900s was just sick and tired of his wife being sick, and he come to the throne of heaven, and he began to fight, and he began to press in, and he began to press in, and he didn't let up, and God began to move. John G. Lake. And he began to move. And Lake turned out to be this guy that they put disease in his hand. He was over in Africa, and there was half of the people were dying over there. He was walking into the huts, picking up the dead without any covering, and burying them. The doctors were so amazed, they couldn't figure out because everybody was dying around them, and they were so amazed, and here's what Lake said. "Put it in my hand." They said, "No, you can't do that." He said, "You put it in my hand, it'll die." And so they placed this disease, diseases upon his hand and arms. And as they looked through the microscope, they begin to shrivel up and die. The power of God he was used by the power of God so mightily that he had the faith to walk out and do the things that he was called to do. We have those people in this room today. "So you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given. And he who has abundance But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away and cast into the unprofitable servant until the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not a very good outcome of poor management of your gifting. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't use your gifts, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that, but that's what that says. But what I'm telling you is if you're a creation, new creation in Christ, there is giftings before you are a new creation. Those things within you were already there before you come to know Christ. They were already in you. You were already walking in the charisma and that stuff already, except now you're walking in the charisma of a new creation. You're walking into this thing that God has established in you. The giftings are not in void, meaning that he will not take them away from you. Your gifting is who you are. But when you invest into the kingdom, and that's where I really want to be today, is are you investing for your future rewards? God is telling us, he is telling us today that I'm a rewarder. God says, I am a rewarder to those who diligently seek me. I am a rewarder for if you do things right, you use your giftings right, I am a rewarder to you. How many would like to see a double increase of your investment by next year? Anybody like to see a double increase? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That means double the people in here as well. Not because they're coming to our church, but because God is moving in a powerful way that when prophets begin to prophesy and healing people begin to do their healing work and when teachers begin to teach and when the evangelists begin to evangelize and when pastors begin to lead and shepherd and when all that begins to function as the church begins to function, when you walk out your callings, then God begins to move and the power of God brings other people in because they want to see the power of God because they're looking for it. People are searching for it. And how do we do that is by discipleship, by getting hungry. Those who diligently seek the Lord, diligently seek, he is a rewarder. So what will you invest in this year? We're 4 days into the new year. 4 days into the new year. How has your year started? Just like Steve said, well, I was going to start fasting Saturday. Well, I was going to start, I'll just start 6 months from now. Today's the day to start investing in the kingdom of God. Today's the day. And so I want to encourage you that if you don't know your calling, your gifting that God has placed in you, you've lived with it all your life. Begin to get fervent before the Lord. The reason that we handed out keys to everyone in this building, the reason that everybody has a key, is to use the house of God. When you need to get away and you don't want to be around your wife, you don't want to be around your husband, and you just want to be around your only husband, that's man or woman, you only want to be around him, and you really want to seek the calling out in your life, you really want to get before him, this carpet's starting to get wore out from walking the altar. The carpet's starting to get wore out because we're pressing into God and this is where I stay when I come in by myself. I stay here and I'm in a place of not agitation, but I'm in a place of desperation for the Lord to move. It gets loud in here when I'm in here by myself. Maybe it should be loud when I'm in here with you guys, but I don't want to put on a show. I'm not here for a show. I'm here before a show before the King. My calling is to cry out for you guys. My calling is to cry out for you guys to come into your callings, to come and be the church, to be the things that God has created in you. And so today, I want you to start looking at the giftings and callings that God has placed in your heart and begin to use those. As Steve used his in the marketplace, he was in the restaurant and he began to use the calling and gifting that he has. And God will give you the words. God will give you the words. And so as we close, we want to close with communion today. put me some, on something soft, some just some nice instrumental music. William Augusta, Gusto. The Lord did all this. The representation of our Jesus.